B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning. .975 The Fanatic.
McKee coming up in a couple of minutes here. Do you think he watched Eurovision, Bob? If so, how much did he make it through?
No, Aaron is well above Eurovision.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our leading t-shirt distributor, Connor, in the parking lot. Connor, how many t-shirts have we given away so far?
So we're up to about 25 t-shirts. We've had a good number of people come by for this early in the morning.
It's not even, we're an hour into it. 25 t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
We need to see more, though. It's a quick in, quick out, too.
All right.
It's easy to come by. If you're driving by One Ballot, just slide on in. We'll toss you a t-shirt.
That's awesome. All right, so One Ballot Plaza, West Lobby. You're out there. You're donning the red. Do we have a tent set up, you said?
We do. A big 97.5 The Fanatic red tent. Can't miss it.
No, you can't miss it right there. Connor, thank you for your work, man. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Thank you. Boom. Just like that. See,
good hustle,
drive
Connor.
By. Good hustle to him. Right? He's right around. He's wearing sleeves because he wanted to get dressed up for the occasion.
He's got gloves. When he throws his shirt, it's all cool. Everything's good.
I'm shocked he's not wearing like a tuxedo t-shirt just to be a little bit more formal today on a day like today. But he's having his fun. That's the bottom line.
He's not wearing a Phillies t-shirt like some other idiots.
Do you think if I put a cap on that I could just stroll up to the tent and get me a free shirt?
Oh, damn.
Crystal Jones in for a shirt, isn't she?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. You stroll on by. Why don't you?
Yeah. I don't even think you need a hat. I would just, next break, after your update, go ahead.
Just walk up there and say hi, yeah. I'm Pat Egan. I need a shirt.
Yeah.
let's get to the head coach of Temple men's basketball, as well as the sixth man of the year in the NBA. From your 76ers, your Temple Owls, Mr. Aaron McKee joins us. What's up, Coach?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, Aaron. Doing great. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, man. Hanging in.
You know, on that note, just right out of the gate, Aaron, I can't imagine what it's like to go through this just as a coach in general, trying to coach a team and all that, and then at the same time also try to recruit players to come to your school. What is this whole offseason, more or less, been like for you as the head coach of Temple men's basketball?
It's been unique, to say the least. But, you know, we're all dealing with this situation. We're all in this holding pattern, and you know, we're just looking for some answers. We just try to follow the science and the data and listen to the experts. And, you know, really when you're watching everything that's unfolding, it's like, you know, they're unsure. So, you know, for me, it's just more so trying to stabilize my guys and get them to understand what's going on, and safety is always first.
What are the players saying about it? How are they dealing with this unique time, as you put it?
They don't know. I mean, we've been having a schedule all summer to, you know, with our plan in place to bring guys back to campus, and, you know, with Philadelphia being a hot spot, and, you know, some of the cases are spiking, we're still in the yellow phase, and we're not in green yet, so which prohibits us from doing any indoor activity. So we can't, you know, bring guys on campus and, you know, have them work out in the gyms now like you would normally do. So, I mean, I just tell them to be patient with me, and we'll try to figure this thing out together, because I really don't have the answer.
Aaron, how does this affect you as far as recruiting-wise? I know going into this season or whatever, you're probably set on who you were already bringing in, and that's fine. But does this affect you more so in the class coming in next year or even further on down the line? And how are you combating it?
But you're not sure as to how it affects you. Probably not until later on, you know, a few years from now or down the road.
Right.
But, you know, we're continuing to, you know, talk to these kids via, you know, Zoom and their parents, and just try to get out as much as you can in a short amount of time, because these kids' attention spans are not long. And it's different. It's different than walking them around campus and being in front of them and mom and dad or whoever's involved with the kid and getting a feel and getting a sense and being able to feel their energy. So things have to be done a little bit different. So again, it's one of those things where not only, you know, Temple University is faced with that, but every university throughout the country is faced with it. So we're all trying to deal with it as best as we can and get through.
Aaron, the other part is, I mean, for as long as you played in the NBA, we're talking to a lot of former players and asking them in all the sports, what would it take for you to feel comfortable to either start up playing if you're a Major League Baseball player or resume play if you're a basketball or hockey player? What would it take for you to feel comfortable playing? Would you feel comfortable playing in the bubble today?
I don't know. I mean, as an athlete, and I can't speak for everybody, I just want to play. You know, I just want to play, and I'm sure that's a lot of on the minds of a lot of the guys that's planning to return. But you also have to think about the other guys. Everybody's opinions are not going to be the same. A thought process is not going to be the same. There are some people that's paying a lot of attention to what's going on, and they're listening to the experts and saying, you know, I don't know if it's the safest. I don't know if it's the best thing. And I think a lot of the things that we're trying is really guesswork. It's really guesswork because no one really has answers. There's no vaccine out there. So, you know, everybody's pretty much rolling the dice. But, you know, for me, back to me, I'm a basketball player. I just want to play basketball. So, you know, everybody's mindset and the way they're approaching it is different.
Now, we're celebrating 7-6 Day here on this July 6th, so it's officially 7-6 Day throughout the Fanatic all day today. When you found out you were coming back to Philadelphia, obviously you went to Temple, you're now coaching at Temple, you come back to Philly, from Philly, you come back to Philadelphia to play basketball. What was the first thought you had when you found out you were coming to the Sixers?
I was pissed off.
Well, why were you pissed off?
Well, because I was leaving a good team. I was leaving Detroit Pistons, who we just came off of, you know, playoff run, and going to the Sixers, who wasn't doing that well at the particular time. And they had Derek Coleman and Allen Iverson on the team, and you know, you hear things, but you don't quite know. And I was just like, this is not a good situation to be going into, you know. But you look at it. I get there, I get to know these guys, man, and it was the best situation to happen for me in my career. Those guys turned out to be wonderful men and good friends. We're good friends to the day. Derek and Allen are my good friends, and talked to those guys, and it was just the energy in the gym when I got around those guys. And it wasn't just them, there was a lot of the other guys that was involved too. And we took off from there.
Now, you said you hear things. Allen Iverson, just in the NBA, what, maybe 2 years by the time I think you guys were teammates? What had you heard about Allen Iverson and those Sixers before you came over here?
Well, they won the best teammates. You know what I mean? Allen won the best teammates. And, you know, I don't know if that's Derek is a guy you want to play with. I don't know if Allen is a guy you want to play with. You know, you heard a lot of things, you know, but you know, sometimes you got to kind of get inside to get a sense of who they are and why they respond the way they respond to different things. But they, you know, they turned out to be good men, just good people.
And let's not let it go unsaid that Allen Iverson became a better person once Aaron McKee joined this team. And Allen has said, and you know, Allen has said as much and how much you meant to him. And for people out there, it's really cool. I was at a high school game real quick. I was at a high school game where Aaron was recruiting and he talked to the kid. And then I went over to say hi to the kid after the game. This was up at Notre Dame High School. And I talked to the kid after the game. And I said, do you know who that is by any chance? He says, yeah, Coach McKee. I said, you know, he's best friends with Allen Iverson. And the kid's face like lit up. I said, I just wanted to leave you with that. But Ar, I wanted to ask you quickly about coaching. You know, you have had the unbelievable fortune. Bill Ellerbe in high school, John Chaney in college. In the pros, you played for many great coaches, including Larry Brown. You get to the college level assistant under Fran Dunphy. You take over last year. Do you find yourself drawing from all those guys, Ar, or do you kind of have your own way of going about you the way you want to coach?
Yeah, you wanna draw from those guys. Obviously, you learn from history, and again, my coaching past coaches have been great. Not only great X and O guys, but just great people, and teach you so much about life. And you want to draw from those guys, but you want to try to create your own lane. You want to try to carve out your own lane and your own identity, and you don't want to constantly be asked questions of, you know, you, do you want to coach like Bill Ellaby? Do you want to coach like John Chaney? Do you want to coach like Clarence Dunphy? I want to be as great as those guys, which is going to be, you know, really hard, but I want to be Aaron McKee. The same way I aspire to be like Dr. J or Charles Barkley or Maurice Cheeks, all the guys, Michael Jordan, the guys that I watched growing up, they set the foundation and they were the bar, but I wanted to be the best version of myself as a basketball player that I could be. And it's no different for me as a coach.
Speaking with Aaron McKee, Temple men's basketball head coach, also former 76er, former sixth man of the year. How do you see the Sixers team doing in that bubble? How are they going to do in this, you know, abridged season to end things in eight games and then also go into the playoffs?
If they get the bubble going, I see, you know, with each passing day, there are guys that's dropping out. There are some teams that are closing up their facilities. I think if the Sixers are healthy, I think they'll certainly be at the top. You know, their chances are pretty good. You know, if you got a healthy Embiid, you got a healthy Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, and they certainly have the talent to do it. And I definitely think they'll be right there in the conversation.
Coach, this is Crystal Rich, NBC Sports Philadelphia, filling in this morning on 97.5. I hope you're doing well. I have a question for you. You've played multiple positions in your time in the NBA, from point to shooting to small forward. Now, when you look at a guy like Josh Richardson, who has shown flashes of great promise, but has only played 48 games out of the 65 before the season ended. Great from the line, just south of 79%. What do you need to see out of a guy like that? Because I really believe he's one of the wild cards in this starting lineup.
Yeah, just the same way. And it takes time. It's more about consistency, especially when you're playing so many games. I think Josh Richardson certainly could be that linchpin for those guys, where you could put him on the best scoring perimeter guard on each team in the NBA that you play. I think he's a guy that you're paying so much attention to, Joel and Ben and Tobias. He's a guy that can, you know, throw 20 at you without a problem. I like his athleticism. I like his energy. So he provides a lot that I think the Sixers desperately need, and he'll be fine. And again, this is still a young team, and they're trying to figure it out. It's unfortunate that the season got cut, but, you know, giving those guys more time to play together, I think we'll certainly identify his role more, and we'll identify his role a little bit better for him.
Just a couple more for you, Aaron. We're asking this question as a part of our poll questions today regarding the 76ers, and it's a simple one. Do we make too much of Ben Simmons' jump shot, or lack thereof? Where do you stand on that argument?
I just, at this point, I don't think he's going to attempt many shots. You know, we spent all last summer talking about Ben working on his three-point shot, and what did he attempt, like two or three of them during the year? So I just don't know if it's going to happen, but I think he could be effective in so many other ways. We spend so much time, you know, worrying about that. I think he can be, you know, just, he's such a versatile player where he's a 6'10 point guard. He can defend centers. He can rebound, push the ball. He can pass the ball. Great size, great strength. He can defend any position. So, you know, his pluses outweigh his minuses. There's so many other things he can do to help this team win games, and, you know, focus on his strengths and just continue to work on it. Maybe one day it'll click with him and he's comfortable enough to be able to take those three-point shots.
To swing things back to a little bit more on North Broad Street, I understand you guys just signed on with Nike. You guys are going to be endorsed by Nike now?
Yes, yes.
Yep. So I got to get my Nike, you know, Temple basketball jersey now and all that, right?
There you go.
Feel free to send some swag there.
Yeah.
We're not shy.
And then the other thing is, we were talking about the NCAA starting up and all that. Are you hearing season, how's the season looking to start? And then also, what are you hearing so far from the NCAA as to what they're willing to do to keep players safe?
For now, with basketball, we're going to put that on the back burner.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with football first.
Yeah.
You know, again, we, you know, football is not even, we're not even in the green phase. We're still in yellow. So those guys get a chance to train outside, you know, in small groups. And so that's not having the entire team together. So it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening with football. So it's going to be interesting from now until, you know, to close out the year, like how and what happens with sports.
And you guys just got a big transfer that I'm hoping I get to see this year in, cherry and white, and that's Khalif Battle. You excited to coach him up?
Absolutely. Very excited. I like what he brings to the table, his ability to shoot and score. And you always can use a little bit of that. Guys who can shoot the ball and score the ball. So he had certainly added some punch for us, on the perimeter.
Aaron.
Good.
Sorry about that, but Brett Brown the other day was talking about how this pandemic has really gotten his team to come together without basketball. You know, they do Zooms. They talk about what's going on in life, not only the pandemic, but the recent things that are happening in this country. Do you find yourself doing more of that with the kids because you can't get on the court all the time? Has there been maybe a get-together moment with these guys that has really grown, throughout this pandemic?
Yeah, we've always done that. I think you're going to live more life than you will playing basketball. So we always approach it from a life perspective. And so we talk about a number of different things in society that's going on, and we get the guy's opinion. And I just kind of I might get the conversation started, but I take a back seat because, as a coach, sometimes you don't hear your players enough, and you don't have an idea. Well, you have an idea, but you don't get deep inside of them to understand what's going on with them and what they're thinking inside of them. So, with us not being on campus and being away from one another, this gives me an opportunity to draw closer to these guys and get their pulse and their feelings as to what's going on in society and how they see themselves in it.
Last one for you, Coach. Obviously with it being 7-6 day here, Do you have a favorite memory of your time playing for the 76ers?
I just think that when we flew out to L.A. to play in the finals, and we get out there and we're practicing, and the entire floor is filled with media from all over the world, and I'm sitting there, and my turn is coming up to go to the podium to be interviewed, and I'm being interviewed on the side by, Arsenio Hall and all these different people who got these talk shows. And then I get a chance to reflect, and I'm just sitting there alone, and I'm like, I'm just looking around. I'm like, wow, I'm sitting here in the Staples Center about to play in the NBA Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. And I grew up as a kid in Philadelphia watching the Sixers play against these guys. And here I am now. I used to always dream about that. And I'm sitting right here now, and it's actually about to happen. And just like, dreams do come true. And I just couldn't believe it. But you match your passion, your dreams, your desires with work ethic and determination, and you can reach those things. And I'm a living example of that.
Just the last thing I just want to say, Allen Iverson always talks about you like you're 40 years older than him. And that's just, that's just not the case. You're like 2 years older than the guy, man. That's the only thing I want to say. I mean, I love AI and all that, but I just feel like he makes you seem like the elder statesman a little more than you're the elder statesman. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Aaron McKee, thanks so much. And good luck. Hey, a little partnership going on now also with Fran Dumphy as the interim AD. Look forward to seeing you guys work together even more so.
Okay.
All right, my man.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Coach Aaron McKee, my man, appreciate you. Aaron McKee joining the program right there.
He is one of the best dudes I know. And in all honesty, I'll give you an example. I'm covering the Sixers. We're in Atlanta. We get word right before the game that Phil Jasner had passed away, who I took over the beat from. Aaron, I go to because Aaron knew Phil, and so I had to write a story, obviously, on Phil also, and quoted Aaron. I get done, the game gets done, or whatever, I write my story, I'm walking back to my hotel room, my phone rings, and it's Aaron. You okay?
Wow.
Like, nothing for a story, nothing for that. You all right? You cool? You need anything? Like, that's above and beyond, and that's who Aaron McKee is. He's just a good dude.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's cool to see. I'm so glad he's in the high school coaching realm or in the college coaching realm because I see him at high schools all the time now because he's out recruiting. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. I get a text from him. Yo, where you at? You know, I'm going to such and such a game. You there? I'm like, yeah, I am. All right. Come up and say hi. You know, like he's a great dude.
Meet you at the hot dog stand.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, I never knew he was pissed off when he got traded to the Sixers.
I'll tell you, I never knew that either.
That's a great quote.
That is a great. I was pissed off. What?
I thought he was kidding. I thought he was kidding, saying, oh, I'm coming back home. Yeah, I was pissed off. Of course I was happy. He wasn't kidding.
Yeah, no, he was with the Pistons, and they got traded to the Sixers. And then just the thing about, like, you had heard things about that team. It's like, I remember being a kid listening to things about that young Sixers. Well, the young Allen Iverson team.
Right.
And other than crossing over Jordan, there wasn't a lot of nice things said about those 76ers teams.
No.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, I got traded there. Cool. Was it him and Theo Ratliff? Was that the same trade?
Yeah, Theo did come from Detroit, I believe it was. Well, yeah, was
Stackhouse, right?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
I
think that's what
yeah, because Eric Snow
was.
Came from Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was that trade.
Wow. Imagine coming to your hometown and you're like, damn it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Iverson gave a press conference. I think it was after it was announced he was going into the Hall of Fame. I think, whatever it was. And he's doing a press conference, and he just started to talk about Aaron McKee.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? And just crying about how this guy kind of saved him as a person, you know, and a guy he could look up to. And I ran up right after the thing, and I talked to Aaron, who was in the, at the time, Comcast Studios. So I ran up because I wanted to get some quotes from Aaron. And, like, Aaron was just blown away. He was like, yo, Bob, wow, that was incredible. You know, like, he was blown away. It took him a couple minutes just to get some words out that I could use for my story. So.
I remember him getting emotional on set. I remember
Yeah,
that.
I believe so, too, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why whenever I look at Allen Iverson and he's talking about Aaron McKee, you would think Aaron McKee is, like, 78 years old and Allen Iverson is, like, 12.
Yeah, now, I follow Temple's basketball program pretty heavily, and apparently he doesn't really use it as a recruiting tool too much, like, as much as you would think. He doesn't, like, walk into a recruit's house and go, hey, by the way, I'm best friends with Allen Iverson, like you alluded to. And it's because he goes, these kids don't know who I am. Like, he's so down to earth that he doesn't assume that because Allen Iverson spoke so highly of him,
right,
that some 17 or 18-year-old would actually know who he is, when a lot of them, in fact, do.
As a Temple alum, if I'm Aaron McKee, I'm going to next time we talk to Aaron McKee, I'm just going to encourage him to bring in, like, a YouTube highlight of, like, him and AI playing together, and then AI talking about him as if he's his best friend. They are. And it's like, hey, no big deal. This is him saying we're besties.
So I would splice up both videos, and I'd put it on my iPad, and I'd open it up, play the video, and just sit back and go, so what do you think?
What do you think of me and my relationship with Allen Iverson? And do you want to play for Temple?
I basically made him.
You could be best friends with Allen Iverson, too, if you come to Temple University. I'm just saying.
Look, you got
to
do what you got to do.
You
don't think Jay Wright's saying this stuff about Kerry Kittles?
That's a fine point. I'm dying. I think, Crystal, you're going to have a report for us from the parking rat. Is that what you're going to do? Is that what's happening?
I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to see what's good. All right. I'm going to try to get a free shirt or two.
Okay.
See where I can stuff one.
Take advantage of the radio goods.
Listen, we're giving away goods. I feel like, you know, I deserve something. Okay.
No, you do.
Selfishly.
Absolutely.
Selfishly.
All right. Well,
admitting it.
You're going to go down there. I appreciate you going down there. Dan in North Philly wants to talk about the Pacers, and I'm sure a little bit of Victor Oladipo opting out. We'll get to that conversation as well. As top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by our next Sixers guest, Dee Lynam, right here of 97.5 The Fanatic. She'll join us to talk some more 76ers basketball. 9:30 today. Bob, as you pointed out, from one sixth man to another, Bobby Jones will join us at 9:30 today. Time at The Fanatic is 8:23.
In the conversation, I'm Crystal Rich, and this sports update is brought to you by BP. BP and Amoco are supporting first responders, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. Learn more at bp.com/thankyouheroes. Major League Baseball had a busy weekend, and some notable players either tested positive for coronavirus or opted out of the season. They include Braves star Freddie Freeman, who tested positive, and Dodgers pitcher David Price, who opted out for the season. It's summer 76 day here on The Fanatic as we talk all things Sixers basketball and give away some amazing Sixers prizes. Moments ago, former Sixers Aaron McKee joined the morning show and discussed how he expects the Sixers to do once the season resumes.
I think if the Sixers are healthy, I think they'll certainly be at the top. You know, their chances are pretty good. You know, if you got a healthy Embiid, got a healthy Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, and they certainly have the talent to do it. And I definitely think they'll be right there in the conversation.
That interview will be made available shortly on 97.5thefanatic.com. Coming up at 9 a.m., we'll be joined by insider D. Lynam. Then at 9:30, NBA Hall of Famer Bobby Jones will join the morning show. This sports update was brought to you by Parks Casino. Bet with the best Parks Casino and Sportsbook in person at their gorgeous new sportsbook in the casino or at parkscasino.com/PA. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As we count down to the return of sports, keep it locked to the Fanatic for all the updates and breaking news. For Crystal Rich, for 97.5 The Fanatic, I'm Crystal Rich.
For ZA in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
She's hurtling out there as we speak.
She's gonna hurdle in her jeans. That's gonna be tough. It's gonna be difficult.
Cheap photo.
I did not expect that.
What?
Out of all the sports.
I want to be a hurdler. She's fascinating. That's fascinating in itself. 9 o'clock today, we'll speak to D. Lynam. By the way, 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And this fine day here on the Fanatic 7-6 day honoring our 76ers on 97.5, the Fanatic is brought to you by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. They're back and they're open with plenty of space for social distancing. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Bob, you brought in the lemon cookies? Amazing.
Oh, yeah, you did have one, huh?
Yeah, my mouth's watering for another, as a matter of fact.
Well, there are plenty here. Pat, help yourself.
Who made these?
I'm on a diet.
Who made them, Johns?
This would be the boyfriend's mother. That's right. Boyfriend's mother.
Trying to curry favor.
Whoa!
Yeah.
The boyfriend of Jenna.
Yeah.
His mom.
We had her for dinner last night. Yeah, big step in the relationship.
Was this the first meeting of the
It was the first meeting, yes. Yeah, so we invited her over for dinner yesterday and had a good time. She also made a key lime pie, which...
I like a nice key lime pie.
Sorry, there was none left over. I apologize.
Now, I have to know, what does she think of Ben Simmons' jump shot?
She's indifferent. She wouldn't commit one way or the other. She does believe that Joel Embiid is constantly out of shape, and that should be discussed more than the jump shot.
Tell her to stop.
I believe. I didn't talk to her about it. I'm just trying to read her.
Just how she made her key lime pie.
Yeah.
That's how you judge.
Yeah, once I got past telling her how much I like her son.
Because he's a good kid. You tell me he's a good kid.
Very good kid. Liked the kid a lot. And his brother and girlfriend came over later for dessert also, so we met the whole family.
Mark, were you?
I had an open door policy. You've been over. You've been over. Yep. My door is always open except Egan. Yeah, it was a good time.
I had my flask on me. I could have.
You
just
did bring your flask.
I could have just stopped by.
Wait, are you like the lush uncle who goes to a party and just pulls out a flask at any hour?
I just know my limits with
everyone's.
Privacy.
Everyone's kind of concerned. Talks in a corner about you.
I am self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. If I'm coming over your house, I want to be as little inconvenience as possible.
Okay.
So here was my problem with him bringing the flask. Not that I really am. So we have company last night. She brings a bottle of wine, although we had plenty of wine, but she brought a bottle of wine and she said, I'll have a glass of that, please. So she drank her own wine. You bring a flask.
Yes.
You ain't sharing.
No. It's my flask.
See, Pat, do you see where my Pat's on the phone?
I brought the wine as a gift for you to be.
Oh, that's you did bring wine also. Yes,
and I.
But what you had in the flask?
Yes,
I had at the house.
No, you didn't.
Didn't I?
You had a version of it.
Oh
wow!
Sorry, snot ass.
Wait, what the hell?
Wow!
I mean, you.
What did I have?
You had a version of Jack Daniel's. You're like a rye version of Jack Daniels.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
What's it like from your perch? Yeah. Like looking down on us common folk.
You see, I still drank it.
Oh, thank you so much for indulging us in drinking our piss water.
Yeah, I
wanted to serve meatballs too, but he told me before then
that
he doesn't eat meatballs made by other people. So I had to change the menu too.
Did I not
God, you're a pain in the ass.
Did I not tell you how delectable the crabbies were?
I did make
they were amazing.
Crab melts. Yes,
crab melts. Okay,
they were good. They are good.
But that's
yes.
only because they're not Italian.
Right, I didn't infringe on any type of food policy that he carries with him everywhere he goes.
Ain't the question, okay? Bob's got family ties to Baltimore, as do I. Your brother-in-law, right? Is from Baltimore? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I didn't go highbrow on the crabbies, on the crab melts, as you call. We call crabbies in my family. They were delectable. They were delicious.
What else did we have that night?
Yeah,
we had a whole bunch of stuff, right?
A whole slew of things of delicious
sausage and peppers, I believe.
Sausage and peppers.
That's okay.
Delicious.
Whatever you had, it wasn't up to Mark's standards. He'll eat it, but it wasn't up to your standards.
The whiskey was the only thing.
Sorry. Yeah.
The whiskey. And I even brought cigars.
Both. He did. He brought cigars.
And once I lit a cigar, Bob was like, I'll be inside.
He brought cigars because he doesn't have faith in you to actually have a good cigar.
Well, he knows that. That's a given.
Now I'm seeing who he actually is. Working with him more and more, I'm...
By the way...
I have stories, Pat.
As we're rehashing some from shows past, I'm going to have to wait for Jamie for this full story. So no offense to you, Pat, but I have an update on the freaky cousin. Even more freaky than I thought.
No!
And originally implied. The freak factor.
So you found it out this weekend.
I found it out this weekend.
Now, this person that you visited,
yes.
Your brother-in-law.
Yes.
All right, so they're absolutely no relation.
No relation whatsoever.
Is there just stories flying around that area about your freaky cousin?
It is
having the time of his life.
It is Baltimore, Bob. Things just happen. Domino Sugar Factory, the whole thing, man.
We have to have her on sometime.
What was that?
It's no hot dog.
What do you mean no hot dog?
Your cousin knows.
All right, let's go to Crystal, who is out in the West Lobby parking lot where we're just throwing away t-shirts like they're hotcakes. That's what we're doing. Crystal, set the scene. What are we looking at?
All right, well, literally, I came out here and I was a little bit skeptical because one truck just rode by and we tried to wave them down like, hey, free stuff here. Kept going. The other one slowed down. I threw a nice little spiral pass into his van, and we got that going. Now a few more people are walking by. They're getting shirts. If you guys are females, you might be a little bit out of luck because, unfortunately, they only have larges. So for me, I was so excited to get some swag. It's going to have to be going to bed swag.
Oh,
I don't think I can rock a larger XL. But it is pretty swaggy nonetheless. And I'm running into a couple of guys out here who say they're big Sixers fans. So we'll treat them like a caller. Is that okay?
Yeah, please, by all means. Let's talk.
What's your name?
Jerry Kenny.
So I have Jerry Kenny right here to my side. And I just want to hear your thoughts about the restart.
Well, I'm a little skeptical on the restart. I can't wait for it to happen. I think the Sixers are healthy. But I'm just skeptical that they're all going to get there and train, and I think they're going to shut it down with the COVID.
Oof.
Yeah. You heard that. That's the feeling here at the tent. But people are at least getting the free swag. We got red shirts, we got white shirts, and we got size L.
Well, I'm an XL, Crystal, so, you know, that's good. You can bring it up if you need to.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to try to steal one for myself, and I'll try to grab an XL for you, too.
Crystal,
you.
Do we have a table set up with all the stuff on it?
We do. We have a nice table, and if you come right off City Line Avenue near Belmont, you'll see a big Fanatic tent out here. You see two guys both rocking the swag out Philadelphia Sixers shirts. We got Connor. We got Todd. How you doing? Good to see you. We got more people rolling up. Did you get a shirt, sir? Would you like a shirt?
I'm with the team. My name is Matt Cord.
I know who you are, Matt.
It's Matt Cord.
He thinks just because he works for the team that, you know, we wouldn't want free stuff. I was complaining that even though I have so much Sixer swag, I would like more. He said he's good, but we have...
Ask him how his vacation was.
How was vacation? We have our first woman walking up. I'm so excited.
There you go.
She doesn't know she's getting a large, but she was handed a large.
All right, do me a favor, Crystal. Hurdle the table for all the people that don't believe you heard.
I'll try to get a boomerang.
All right, we'll see you up in a second. Make sure you tweet a picture of you and some of your new friends, and we'll retweet that and all that fun stuff. And we'll see you up here shortly. Thank you so much.
All right, see you guys.
All right, so the Crystal Rich right there checking in. One Bala Plaza, Bala Kenwood, PA, in the West Lobby parking lot. You can't miss it. It's a big red tent, people.
Yeah, because the rest of the parking lot's under construction anyway, so you'll find it.
It's the parking lot with cars.
Yes,
the one
exactly.
Like it's been blowed up. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's get to our friend Dan in North Philly up here. Dan, what's on your mind, sir? Actually, Dan, hold on. Dan, I'm sorry. Just two more seconds I need here. I'm going to put you back on hold because this is the Tobias Harris ball we're doing here, Pat Egan. All right, we're giving away a Tobias Harris autographed ball, regular size ball, like a regular basketball, autographed by Tobias Harris. That's what we're giving away in this hour for Tobias Harris autographed ball. All you got to do is be the seventh caller to 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. Be the seventh caller on this 7-6 day, and you'll win the Tobias Harris autographed basketball. Is that too bad, Bob Cooney?
Not too bad at all.
Not too bad at all. Dan in North Philly. There you go, buddy. What's happening?
Yeah, what's going on, you? Hey, Dan.
Good, man.
Well, I shot 100 this weekend when I went to play golf. I think the British voice is actually really starting to help.
This is Dan Schwartz, I see.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
My man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I thought I said that. My bad. Yeah, so we're still on 7-6 day, right?
Yes.
We're not, it's not 6-9 day?
That is correct.
Yeah, no.
That is come and gone.
Okay, then we'll wait for your cousin's story for that day. So I was listening to Crystal earlier, and she said something about like how the Indiana Pacers were going to go into this bubble trying to survive.
Yes.
And I didn't know if she was more pertaining to the regular season till they get to the playoffs. Or is that the mindset for the whole bubble, that they're actually just trying to survive the bubble, get the sun wet, and get out?
I think that was said by somebody in the Pistons organization, but I have no doubt in my mind that a lot of people that are going for the paycheck and to survive.
Oh, man. I mean, doesn't that take some of the competitive nature out of it? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Not in it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
Dan, I think a lot of people are going into this and just kind of going into it with the idea of, let's see what happens. And I think I've heard some other NBA players say that they're going into the bubble and like the first two or three games, it'll be a little weird with no fans, especially, you know, no fans in particular. And then all of a sudden it'll start to just be basketball again.
Yeah. And like you're just saying to that point exactly is when they're on the court and they're playing and I feel like if they actually think, oh man, I have a chance to win an NBA championship, things may be going well, then it might change that player's mindset. But I really feel like it's depending on how things are going with this bubble. And that's where I wanted to get to. I just wanted to ask, like right now, what are we, about 3 weeks out from the start of the season, roughly?
Yeah.
Where is your excitement level? And not with the ifs, like if this happens, do you think it's coming back fully? Do you think it's going to finish? Like, where are you as far as like excitement?
Excitement.
I feel the same as a month ago.
Excitement, I'm through the roof. I can't wait. I'm over the moon excited to watch basketball again. Now, if you want to start incorporating those ifs, it is rather easy to incorporate those ifs, and you know why. There's a damn pandemic going on still, and we're not doing that good to control it, and we're especially not doing that well in Florida. So, and that's where everything's going on. So, for me, I'm just over the moon excited for it, and I'm trying to temper my expectations for it, but I really can't because I haven't watched sports in 4 months.
Mark, before you go, I guess the better question would be then, where's your confidence level in it coming back and finishing?
Finishing, I'm at about 75% confident.
No, that's pretty good. Gives me a little bit of hope, buddy.
There you go, Dan. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Where are you at, Bob?
75%, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm right about there with you, Mark. I do have confidence it's going to go through. Fauci coming out saying that he looked it over and thinks it's a pretty good idea and they might have a way of going. What does scare me is, you've had a few people come back in different areas and have tested positive or gotten enough tests back that teams have shut down. We saw that Denver did it last week. Somebody just did it this week, and I forget who it was. They're shutting down their facilities already after only reconvening for a couple of days. That's scary. And, you hope they get to the bubble healthy, and then what happens there? You're just going to have to play it by ear, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this Brent fella? Is that the guy did he win the basketball there for the Pat Egan? Did he? What happened with
Pat's working his butt off back there?
So I tell the. Do I let the?
I assume so.
You assume so.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume.
Well, I don't want to just put this guy on and be like, you want something you didn't win.
And we know what happens when you assume, Mark.
You make an ass out of you and me, as they like to say.
It's not my first rodeo, let's find out together.
All right, somebody just typed up winner. So I guess that makes it official. All right, here we go. Brent, what's going on, man?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, congratulations. You won the Tobias Harris autograph ball for the 76ers. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How excited are you to watch basketball again at the end of the month?
Honestly, I can't wait for any sports to be put on. I was watching Korean baseball the other day. And I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Who's your favorite Korean baseball team?
I couldn't even tell you who was playing.
Dinos, man. The Dinos all the way. Brent, thanks and congratulations. Go Sixers.
Yeah, go Sixers.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
See, look, that's the excitement you miss when you don't have sports,
Brent. I know.
Look, he just won something.
Yeah, he did.
He just won something for himself right there. But that's great. We also, a little bit later in the program, we have a Joel Embiid signed authentic blue jersey. 9:51. We'll be announcing that, won't we, Pat Egan? Anything else we're giving away today, Pat?
Come on, Pat. What are you doing over there?
I was drinking coffee.
Okay.
Yeah, we got the Ben Simmons autographed
ball. Oh, when are we doing that one?
We're doing that one at when we come back from break. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We're going to do that when we come back from break.
That's exciting. See that? All the excitement in the world right there.
Look how organized we are. This is awesome.
Here's the thing. My whole job is to make you guys appreciate what Jamie brings to the table by constantly just screwing things up.
You're Jamie's job security? Is that what you are? That's adorable.
So it's like, we could do better. And then I show up and it's like, actually, I think we're good.
You know what? It's good. It's good to know thyself.
Know your limitations.
As Shakespeare and Charlie Manuel would say, it's good to know thyself. All right. But here's my issue. And this is why you do have to pay attention to what's going on in the other sports. And this is a basketball day. It's 7-6 day. So we're talking.
Yeah, it is.
So all of what I'm about to tell you, it only goes into our conversation about basketball. When you see the NFL, who has acted this entire time like, what pandemic? What are you talking about? They cancel their preseason, their first game, the Hall of Fame game. And then you're talking about two other games being canceled. And then you listen to the NFLPA can't say they want to cancel the entire preseason altogether. It gives you some pause. And then you hear about a guy like Victor Oladipo saying thanks, but no thanks. He's not playing. He's opting out. You hear concerns growing throughout different NBA players. Damian Lillard basically acting like this is a terrible idea from the get-go, and he hasn't kept that secretive even a little bit. Then you see a Major League Baseball player saying, well, my wife's pregnant, so I don't know if I'm going to be around, like Zach Wheeler. Bryce Harper says he's all systems go, so good for him. You have a guy like Joe Girardi coming out saying, like, you got to choose family over everything. I get it. I got your back if that's your decision. That's your right. Then you also see some guys that may or may not have tested positive for COVID-19, Freddie Freeman being one of them. You see guys having teams having trouble getting tests. Ken Rosenthal reported a couple of different teams are having problems just getting tests. That makes you look at basketball and say, oh, wait a minute, this is going on in Florida. Well, that's not a vote of confidence. We're going to have this bubble and it's going to keep people protected. Okay, let's hope so, but it's not really a bubble because there's people that can come and go as they please, and those are the workers that are catering to these NBA players, working for these NBA players, essentially. There seems to be a lot of people that are very much concerned about whether or not this is going to start at all, and there's all these other people that are worried about if it does start, does it finish? And when Adam Silver comes out and says what he said last week, which was, there's no full steam ahead. Like, there's no, oh, we started, so now we're not ending. No, there's a good possibility that if this does pick up and more teams and more players get affected by this, coaches get affected by this, you could see it all shut down. And it could just be the unfortunate way to look at it as this could just be the dress rehearsal to next basketball season, just as an NFL preseason would have been for an actual season. Mm-hmm. Oh, dress rehearsal. Can we do all this? I hope that's not the case because I hope this season starts up again and finishes and you crown a champion for the 2019-2020 season. But it's a very real possibility that all this is a couple of weeks of, can we do this for an entire basketball season? Can we sustain? At least until there's a vaccine. Can we do that? And we're going to find that answer to be yes or no, very definitively, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know what concerns me, Mark, the more that we talk about this and the more that we hear players coming out, more importantly, talking about it, is if their minds aren't right going in, that's dangerous. Like, you know, they're going to go out there and play to their abilities because they have those abilities. They have those talents. That's why they're professional players. But if you're not going into it, I don't care if you're a professional or high school or college, whatever you're playing, if you're going into it not giving it your fullest physically or mentally, these guys, you know, for 48 minutes on a basketball court, they're into the game. Like, they have to prepare. They have to be there. If they're not, that's not good for the sport, and it's not good for the individual. In what I've said a million times, when you're not going 100% and you're not 100% there, it leads to bad injuries. It leads to guys not doing what they normally do and guys getting hurt, breaking ankles, doing whatever happens when someone isn't going full tilt. You anticipate yourself is going to go 100%, but you anticipate your opponent doing it too. And you can kind of see what your opponent's going to do off of that 100% effort. If it's not there, I get worried of bad injuries happening out of stupid things. And that's what not being able to play or be mentally into it 100% lends to.
The Clippers already said, hey, give us a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, that's what it was, the Clippers, right.
And then over the weekend, the Bucks were like, we had a couple of tests positive. You're not going to see us until about 2.5 weeks when we actually have to go to 2 weeks before we have to go to Orlando. So they've shut it down.
Yeah.
This is after Giannis came out with the statement, this might be the most difficult championship to win ever. So don't talk to me about, as he called it, the star thing, the asterisk, right? Don't talk to me about that. We're putting our lives on the line here. We're putting our health on the line here to play in the midst of a pandemic. Yeah, I understand we got the best record in basketball, but we're still risking a lot as human beings, not just basketball players.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to discuss there. We failed to throw out our second Twitter poll today. Our first Twitter poll. We need an update on that before we move on to the next one here. But our first Twitter poll question that we asked earlier today was on Ben Simmons and his jump shot on this 7-6 day. Do we make too much of the Ben Simmons jumper? Yes or no, basically. And it seems like most people right now are right on par with the majority of this show, which was, no, we don't make too much of it. The one answer was, stop, he's fine.
Yeah.
More people are siding on the, no, it's actually a pretty big deal. The second way we're going to go with this today is in regards to the other thing we talk about a lot, which is Joel Embiid and his health. Is this conditioning a big issue? Do we make too much of that like we do possibly with Ben Simmons' jump shot? So our second Twitter poll today brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Do we make too much of Joel Embiid's conditioning? Yes or no? I will jump out of the gate and say, no, we don't make too much of it because it's been that much of an issue. And he's not going to reach his full potential until he is at 100% absolute wonderful condition. And that doesn't mean he comes into the season ready to go. That means he comes in, works himself in. That's been the MO. That's been the way it's usually gone for Joel Embiid. From the get-go, I need him in shape, ready to go, full 48, whatever you want to call it, as many minutes as he can play, and just keep on trucking.
And do you anticipate that at any
48 minutes? No, point? Not at all. Not
I don't mean that. But do you anticipate
it never being an issue?
38 minutes in the playoffs this year.
I think he has to. If they're really going to make a push for even a conference finals appearance, they got to get that from them.
Do you think his lack of conditioning has led to the many injuries he sustained over the years in some part?
I believe there is a direct correlation. Yes.
I also believe there is a correlation with him only being 10, 11 years into the game of basketball. He did not start playing out as a young child like most people do playing AAU. So I think part of that is his body not just having that ability to learn all the intensity that it requires to play the sport, not just play it, but at the intense level as the pros.
Bad mechanics, bad technique. That can lead. Like, we look at it like a pitcher in baseball. You can get injured if you have the right wrong mechanics. Well, if you don't know how to play a particular sport correctly, you could be straining muscles that don't need to be strained. The only thing I will say that I don't like that explanation for Joel Embiid is that he's been a professional for what, 5 years?
Yeah.
6 years? Like, you've been around enough people that should be able to coach you up, whether that be a training staff or that be a coach himself.
I still don't feel like that's enough time. Because, yes, half a decade, it seems significant. But when you look at the backgrounds of people and then coming up in AAU and college, you can argue that these guys have been in their mind professional for 15 years before they ever really turned professional. Mm-hmm. In their mindset of, I'm going to be a basketball player.
I have another thought, and I'll give it after the break, about why Joel Embiid suffered some injuries early on in his career.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with Shirley Temple? No, I'm just kidding. Don't say. All right.
No, she died, I think.
Well played.
Yeah, she's not worse.
When we come back, top of the hour, Bob will give us that final thought, and then we'll also talk to D. Lynam, our own D. Lynam here, about all things 76ers when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.